it was Paul's custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. You see, it means it was Paul's habit. He would habitually go into the synagogue. It was his routine. It was a discipline that Paul had. Jesus had the same discipline. The Bible says it was Jesus' custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. You see, it takes effort to build good, consistent habits or customs in our life. That takes discipline. That takes an effort.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 17 with a message titled, The Suffering and Reigning Messiah.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Now we come to a new area and a new ministry of Paul and those that are with him. In chapter 17, we'll look at the first two verses. We'll go to verse 9, but we'll keep it kind of going verse by verse to give you a good context for the study. And it says in verse 1 of Acts 17, when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonian, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue and was there three Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the scripture. One of the things that I pick up here right away is I question, well, Paul, why did you pass through Amphipolis and Apollonia? Why did you go through there? You didn't preach. You didn't teach in those areas. Amphipolis, that's a military station about 33 miles from Philippi. And he didn't also preach in Apollonia, which is another 30-mile distance. And he finally ends up in Thessalonica. Actually, today we know that area as Salonika. And it's the second largest port city there in Greece. So it still exists today under a different name. And that was 37 miles away. So when you look at from one place to another, he traveled about 100 miles from Philippi to Thessalonica. But he passed over those other areas. And you have to go, well, why, Paul? Why didn't you preach there? Well, apparently, the Spirit didn't lead him to do that. I don't know about you, but when I was a new convert, a new Christian, I felt I had to share with and preach to every person I came in contact with. And I'll tell you, sometimes it was very awkward, to say the least, because it wasn't Spirit-led. And there were other times that I just, you know, I didn't plan on it. You know, maybe I'd grown in the Lord and realized I got to wait upon the Lord. And then when the Lord opened the door here, these folks came to faith in Christ. In those awkward situations, nothing happened. But I think sometimes we feel when we become a new Christian, we have to machine gun evangelize, you know, just everyone, you know, and yet not necessarily led by the Holy Spirit. When I was a new Christian, I hadn't watched this film, but I realized it had been made some years before I got saved. And I got saved in the early 70s, and it was called The Gospel Blimp. And it was, if you've seen it, I mean, you can still go to YouTube and you can watch it. It's a very safe film for the kids, but it's about 45 minutes. And it's kind of a spoof. It's kind of funny on how we want to machine gun evangelize. And we feel like we have to invent ways to reach others instead of personal one-on-one evangelism, spirit-led evangelism. And the whole film dealt with well-meaning but overzealous Christians. They wanted to reach their community, so they flew a blimp over neighborhoods, and they dropped a barrage of tracks on the unsuspecting neighbors, and they blasted Christian music from the blimp that was ear-splitting. The dogs would howl, and the citizens would cringe. And the point was that, you know what, we need to be led by the Spirit. And so often, it's one-on-one evangelism. But for me, I had to learn. I kind of learned the hard way, awkward, very embarrassed, you know, when you'd be laughed at and what are you doing, you know, just cold evangelism. Didn't work. The Bible tells us in John 3:8, it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So really, it's a spiritual work in a person's life, and they're not going to get saved by our efforts and our trying to talk them into it, but it's a Spirit-led thing. We're led of the Spirit to share the gospel. That doesn't mean like you never share. No, you wait for those opportunities. But you see, the gospel is not a force-fed kind of, you know, thing that we do. You see, we don't just try to jam it down people's throats, and sometimes we can do that when we feel like we're compelled to every person that we meet. No, wait on the Lord. Wait for an open door and be wise in maybe opening a person's heart to it. But you see, if there's no open door, if the person is just, you know, filled with themselves and filled with the world and stuff, and it's, you know, you're not going to make any headway there. In fact, the Bible says the sated man loathes honey. In other words, the sated, you're probably going to experience what that means during the Thanksgiving dinner, where you're eating the turkey and the ham and the all the stuffings and the sweet potatoes and all that, and then you go to the desserts with a pumpkin pie with whipped cream, and then from there you go to the apple pie with ice cream, and after a while you're just laying there. And you're sated. And somebody puts another piece of apple pie with ice cream, and you go, oh, I don't even want to see that. That's the idea, but we're talking about it spiritually. So filled with the world and so filled with yourself, it's like the gospel is repulsive. You loathe the sweetness of the gospel. So God's just got to work on that heart and make that person realize that they have a need, and maybe take them through another lap of the wilderness or whatever it might be to bring them to that place where the famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. And so when they get hungry spiritually, you don't need to be a great evangelist. Just share the simplicity of the gospel and people come to the Lord. And we can't predict the Holy Spirit. We can't predict and tabulate His movements. We can only be sensitive and open to His leading in our life, like we're seeing in the book of Acts. And I think that's why Paul is passing by. There's many speculation by commentators why Paul passed over these areas, why he passed over Amphipolis and Apollonia. And they make the speculation, but it basically, it's just the Holy Spirit didn't lead him to do it. It just is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be open. We need to be sensitive. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into circumstances, different circumstances. And when the door opens and you find it's so easy to share the gospel with a person. Now, maybe everybody around, as we'll see this morning, is not really excited about their friends or the community hearing the gospel, and they'll come against it. We'll see that as we come. But when you have that open door It's such a delight to go through it and how people respond to the gospel. Now, Thessalonica or Thessalonia is it's an area where actually the name in the city founded General Cassander of Macedonia after the death of Alexander the Great in 323 BC. He founded Thessalonica or Thessalonia. He found it in 315 BC and he named it in honor of his wife. His wife was the half-sister of Alexander the Great. It was the largest, most prosperous, most important city there. It was the capital of the Macedonian region, and it was positioned in a way where it was on the Ignatian Way, that Roman military highway that would connect the West and the East, Asia and Rome, a very important place, a seaport city, a trade center, a commercial hub. And so Paul, on his way there, maybe that was one of the reasons he wanted to get into that strategic mission outreach city. And so he went there. But we're going to know as we go a little farther next time that he goes to another area that is out of the way. This is on the way. This is the main highway. And in Paul's day, it had a population of about 200,000 on the highway. We're going to find the next stop, Berea, was on the byway. One was on the main road. The other was basically off-road. Berea was off-road. And the Thessalonian area, if you were a traveler, you would cross that area. You would travel through that area. If you wanted to go to Berea, you'd have to go out of the way. And remember, and we'll see it next time, that the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. And you can read ahead and find out why. But you see, there was a synagogue there, as we note, and Paul always, he would go to the synagogue first. It didn't have a synagogue in Philippi. And you needed to have 10 or more adult Jewish males in a Roman city to require a synagogue. And so here, there were Jews in that city, it was required to have a synagogue. Not so in Philippi. So Paul went down and his companions went down by the river side where they would meet for studies and to worship the Lord. So notice it says it was Paul's custom. I like that idea. Paul's custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. You see, it means it was Paul's habit. If there was a synagogue, he would habitually go into the synagogue. It was his routine. It was a discipline that Paul had. Jesus had the same discipline. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it was Jesus' custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. You see, for us as believers and how this relates to me and to you, it's easy to fall out of good customs or habits and fall into bad ones. You see, it takes effort to build good, consistent habits or customs in our life. That takes discipline. That takes an effort. You see, having a custom or a habit to pray. The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's always a joy to me coming back from Israel, going to our men's prayer meeting on Saturday, 7:30 to 8:30. Guys, you're all welcome to do it. But to see the same guys that have made it a custom, made it a habit to be there. In fact, I go, and if they're not there, I go, oh, something must have come up. Because it's their custom. It's their habit. It's their discipline to pray for you and to pray for the body of Christ. Church, coming to church, showing up for fellowship. You know, they say that only 60% of the people that identify with a particular church are there Sunday morning. Now, to me, that's sad because I think from being a Christian, you know, I don't know if it's good to find alternative things to do on Sunday and not show up. You see, they had a problem there. And when Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians, do not forsake the fellowshipping of the saints together, as is the habit of some. They had fallen into the habit and falling out of the habit of custom of coming to fellowship. You see, even the Bible, you know, reading the Word of God, we have a calendar in there every month, you know, so you could go through the Word. It makes it easy on you. I have a bunch of ribbons in my Bible, you know, to take me through Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, you know, so I like to go through all of that. But you see, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not just for a pastor, a leader, or somebody that's teaching the Bible, but that's for you. That's for me. It's for all Christians. Tithing. Tithing, the Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so food might be in my house, God is speaking to Malachi 3:10. And even Jesus said, don't neglect the tithe. Matthew 23:23, Luke 11:42. But a lot of people go, well, they've got enough. I don't need to give. Well, wait a minute. You're giving to the Lord through the church. A lot of needs, a lot more needs. Service. You know, some people just sit back. Well, they've got enough people serving. Well, we have people serving, but God wants you to serve. The Bible says the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. Jesus speaking. There's no greater servant than Jesus. And you know what he's going to do when we're with him at the marriage supper of that Lamb? It just blows my mind. He's going to gird himself and serve us there. Does that blow your mind? You see, that's the attitude. Those are the disciplines or the customs, just some of them, that it takes an effort for us to incorporate in our lives. Now, Paul was there for three Sabbaths. He thought it was so important to teach them for those times. And it doesn't mean that he didn't teach them when he wasn't in Sabbath, in the synagogue during the Sabbath. Probably people would invite him over to their house and he would have, casual teachings outside the Sabbath. But for three Sabbaths, teaching and preaching, and notice it was from the Old Testament. The New Testament was being written as Paul was ministering. And so out of the Old Testament, because why? Well, Paul knew as he writes to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then also to the Gentile. Not ashamed of the word of God. Well, notice what he was doing when he was in the synagogue for those three Sabbaths, and I'm sure maybe in some of the home fellowships that he visited. It doesn't say he did, but I'm just speculating that he probably did. I don't think he was cruising for the rest of the week, you know, not doing anything, knowing Paul. But it says in verse 3, explaining and proving or giving evidence that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, Paul said. Oh, so important. As we understand what was going on in the New Testament, as they were reading about the prophet, the Messiah, as they were reading about the Messiah, when the prophets and the law spoke about the Messiah, they didn't understand it. To them, it was somewhat of a mystery. And Paul is, notice, explaining or opening the scripture to him. That term explaining or opening, it only occurs in one other place, and that's when Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, and he begins to open the scripture from Moses and the prophets to them. And they said, did our hearts not burn when he was speaking to us? So the idea, the word means to make plain, to expound upon, and to give exposition. That's what he's doing. That's what we're doing this morning. And that's what Paul was doing with those there in the synagogue so that they could understand what the Old Testament meant when it dealt with the Messiah, his suffering and his being raised from the dead. And notice also proving or giving evidence. So he's explaining and he's proving. And giving evidence, that is not a dogmatic insistence upon. He's not saying, you must understand it, that he's not doing that at all. Not pointing a finger and being dogmatic, but literally proving or giving evidence is setting out in order and displaying. It would be like a merchant setting out and displaying his merchandise. That's what he's doing. When we were in Israel, that's what they would do. You'd just be passing by and they go, oh, let me show you. And they put out all this stuff on the ground. They're displaying it. And then one girl, she didn't ask for it. She just said, no thanks. And he said, why you waste my time? You know, it's like, okay, no real reasoning sometimes with some people. But that's the idea, just laying it out so that they can comprehend and understand. As Paul went through the law, he went through the prophets, he went through the Psalms in sequence as the scripture related to the Messiah's death and resurrection. He laid out the facts first, that the Messiah must suffer, he must be raised from the dead. Now, it doesn't say what scriptures Paul pointed to, but let me just share a few that do relate to maybe what Paul was talking about. And Paul maybe was relating these to them, talking about the Messiah in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Possibly. That's a good scripture to talk about the suffering Messiah. Maybe also he would turn to the psalmist in declaring what the Messiah would go through. Actually, it's even a picture of the Messiah on the cross. Amazing how it identifies the Messiah being on the cross. My God, in Psalm 22:1, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the very thing that Jesus cried from the cross. And he goes on in verse 6 of Psalm 22, I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. He goes on, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a pot shred, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death. They pierce my hands and my feet. And so the suffering Messiah, maybe bringing the Jews to a realization that our Messiah, Paul would say, suffered. But ultimately, not only did he suffer, but he was raised from the dead.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 17, titled The Suffering and Reigning Messiah. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 17. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.